Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The world's two largest economies are at odds over trade. Does that mean everyone suffers? Aaron Ennis is Senior Vice President of the U.S.-China Business Council. It's a nonprofit organization representing about 200 American companies that do business with China. Aaron is in South Dakota for the 12th annual China Town Hall. It's tonight at 5 p.m. Central in Brookings, and she joins us today from the Janine Basinger Studio at South Dakota State University. Aaron Ennis, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
There seems like a million places we sort of could drop into this story, but let's start with maybe where things are, you know, right now. The implications continue to sort of grow as the U.S. and China continue to not come together on trade.
Sure. Maybe what we can do is just review how we got to where we are, since I know the folks in South Dakota are very much aware of the tariffs on ag products in particular. But There's a couple of things that have been going on since the beginning of the current presidential administration. The Trump administration has focused very significantly on what it views as unfair trading practices around the world. Two particular issues in dealing with China have come to light. One has been a significant concern about oversupply of steel and aluminum. And so they put tariffs on a variety of products from around the world, including China. In response, China put a 25% tariff on a variety of largely agriculture exports from the United States to China. Then separately, the U.S. government took action against China for concerns about protection of intellectual property rights and technology transfer policies. And in a tit-for-tat process that's been going on for about 4 or 5 months at this point, has implemented $17 billion worth of tariffs, and then $34 billion, and finally another $50 billion, totaling $50 billion, and finally $200 billion. For each level of that, China has responded largely in kind with tariffs on U.S. exports, again, starting with a lot of agriculture products, but then in the most recent round, also covering a fair number of consumer goods as well. So at this point, the United States has tariffs on roughly $267 billion worth of Chinese exports to the United States, and China has tariffs almost equivalent, but roughly equaling about 85% of U.S. exports to China.
Explain the technology transfer problem, because I think most people sort of understand the intellectual property rights debate, but what exactly is the technology transfer that American companies are so upset about?
Sure. So it actually is not a problem that every company deals with, but it's one that's very important for those that do have to deal with it. In certain sectors, if you are going to do business in China, in order to get your business license, you may need to either have a Chinese partner to do business with you, something called a joint venture. And as part of those terms, your partner might ask you to transfer the technology that you use to do the operations in China. Also, what the Chinese government sometimes requires is to get certain types of licenses for, say, cloud computing, that you need to pass a national security review. So essentially prove that you will uphold safety standards on internet security within the government. But in general, what we found is that most foreign companies are unable to pass those tests. And so you, again, would have to have a Chinese partner in order to be able to meet those requirements. In each of these instances, there's no explicit requirement to transfer your technology to a Chinese operation. But certainly, in order to be able to do business, you're going to have some of the technology there. Now, in certain circumstances, you could own the technology. If you can own 100% of what you're doing in China, then it doesn't make any difference whether you're transferring the technology to China or keeping it in the U.S., because it's essentially like moving it from your right hand to your left hand. You are still in full control. But in instances where your technology has to be shared with a Chinese partner, then you start having concerns about whether your intellectual property rights, what it is that makes that technology special, are properly protected, or whether it's something that's going to be stolen as a part of the regulatory process.
All right. Were tariffs ever the way to get China to the table on some of these contentious issues? Because it doesn't seem like that's working.
I would agree with you. And in general, the members of the U.S.-China Business Council feel strongly that this was not the right way to get the Chinese to act on these issues. The feeling among our companies and experience has proven that actually working with our like-minded trading partners on these issues, which are not unique to American companies, would have been a better way to address it. Where we are right now with tariffs on, you know, about half of Chinese imports into the United States, we can at least say that it has focused China's attention. How long that goes on and whether this actually results in something that will address all of those concerns about overcapacity in steel and aluminum or protection of intellectual property rights and technology transfer remains to be seen. But we do face a risk of being at a point of diminishing returns now about being able to actually have a positive outcome or simply just exacerbating tensions.
So obviously in South Dakota, many soybean farmers in particular are seeing the effects now during harvest time. Who else is seeing the impact? Are consumers getting hit? Business owners? How widespread is the impact of the standoff?
So there's two different phenomena going on right now. The first one is what South Dakota's soybean farmers are seeing, which is those tariffs that China has on U.S. exports. The separate issue is whether consumers or U.S. companies are feeling it, and that really is a reflection of the tariffs that the United States has put on China. So far, the most acute pain is being felt by U.S. exporters, so not only soybean farmers, but probably anyone who makes ag manufacturing equipment or the things that are related to U.S. exports to China and other markets, because farmers aren't sure what their income is going to look like in the next year, and so they aren't investing quite as much in terms of new equipment or improved technology or even, you know, buying more seeds. We're seeing those effects definitely ripple through the market. The effect on U.S. consumers has yet to really be seen. Those of you who pay attention to trade deficit numbers will note that the numbers have been through the roof. And what appears to be happening is that many U.S. retailers and companies that need inputs started front-loading purchases to get as much into the United States as possible before the tariffs were put in place so they could keep the prices fairly level. But those tariffs at a 25% rate on consumer goods will go into effect in January. Right now, we're just at 10% on most consumer goods. So we probably will not see an immediate increase in the price for most consumers, but probably by the beginning of 2019, if these issues are not resolved, consumers will start seeing the changes.
All right. How long can it go on? That's the million-dollar question, right? Or billion.
It is indeed. It's well, we've got a several trillion-dollar economy,
right.
So I guess we could up the ante consistently. I would say we should anticipate this is going to go on for quite a while. From our conversations with Chinese government officials, we know that they're ready to talk to the U.S. government. But just this week, Secretary of State Pompeo was in Beijing, and it sounds like the two sides are probably the most diplomatic way to say it is are agreeing to disagree on what the next step is. China wants the U.S. to guarantee that if it makes a proposal, that it will begin to back away from tariffs. The United States wants to see what the Chinese have to offer before they make any such offer. That, I think, in classic trade negotiation terms, is a stalemate on this. But hopefully some progress will be made in the next few weeks. The two presidents could be meeting in Buenos Aires at the end of November. And that, in general, in the past, has been the kind of an opportunity that's led both governments to try to make progress. Our hope is that the two governments do try to take advantage of that and come to at least some resolution so that by the end of November, well before the holiday season genuinely kicks into effect in the United States, but also before those higher tariffs go into place on January 1, that could give folks some confidence that things are going to be improving in 2019 rather than continuing to degrade.
So China has also been saying, you know, hey, we can't really get a good read on what the American White House really wants. The priorities keep changing. I even read something where they said they were looking at some of the reports, Bob Woodward's book, Fear, about how what's happening inside the White House. Is that all gamesmanship, or is that really impacting the conversation from Chinese perspective?
From our conversations with Chinese officials, I think they genuinely are still trying to figure out what's going on. Part of the issue here is that the Trump administration has very different priorities than previous administrations, and they are much more resolute in what they are doing. We can argue about whether they are resolute on the right things or not, but they have been very focused on trying to improve what they characterize as fairness for American companies around the world. The difference in terms of how China views the world is that China joined the World Trade Organization about 17 years ago, and the World Trade Organization has specific rules that try to ensure fair treatment of companies from all governments, but it's not really a test of whether everything is fair. There's trade-offs in international trade. So what China seems to be trying to reconcile at this point is how much do they need to do to address the concerns of the Trump administration, and what does it look like? Right now, they're trying to guess at it because the administration keeps asking the Chinese to just start acting before they are willing to back off of tariffs. So they're talking past each other a little bit, but I think it is based on some genuine confusion by the Chinese about what it will take to get the administration to lower the pressure.
Hmm. Does the agreement on a new NAFTA or the USMCA, does that move the conversation forward? Does that put additional pressure on China? Is it a light at the end of the tunnel that this could be agreed upon? Any day we could have a trade deal with China. How does the USMCA sort of impact this conversation?
So it definitely creates some interesting new dynamics in that the agreement between the three countries, both in terms of how we got there, there's certainly some debate about whether we got there because the U.S. had tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico or not. But generally, the agreement between the three countries means that the U.S. government is willing to make a deal on certain issues. Now, whether there's agreement on how to deal with China is unclear. Canada has been in the process of the early process, I should say, of free trade agreement negotiations with China for several years. There's a provision in the new agreement between in the new NAFTA, for lack of a better way to describe it, because USMCA or whatever it is quite a mouthful. But there's a provision in there that says that the two governments, all three parties have to notify when they're entering into new trade agreements with what are referred to as non-market economies, economies like China and Vietnam. Trade negotiations take a long time to complete, so it's unclear whether that agreement between Canada and China would have been completed in the short term or not. It's also unclear whether it would ever be invoked. There's a variety of reasons that the three parties could pull out of the agreement if they wanted to. So for the right now, I guess what I would say is that the new agreement between Canada, Mexico, and the United States creates some interesting new possibilities of progress with China, but it also adds in even more uncertainty about what the outcomes could be.
All right. How optimistic are, U.S. business owners about not only the potential for, an agreement, but about the economy in China and how this all is going to affect that economy for their business interests in the future?
So China's economy grows at around 6% a year, depending on how you look at the calculations. And that's a lot faster than any other market in the world. So while there's always been concerns about exactly how you do business in China, the rate of return for selling product both to China, as U.S. agriculture does, or even within China, exceeds the potential profit that you can get in almost any market around the world. Even with a trade war between the two countries, China, if we shaved a percentage point off of it, 5% is still a lot faster than most other markets around the world. So I think in general, what we hear from companies is a great deal of concern about the uncertainty that we're seeing in the market, but also a hope that this leads to better outcomes and a resumption of growth in the market, because until the United States or any other market around the world of scale, of a significant scale like China is, starts growing at that rate, it's still going to be essential for American companies to do business there because there's no other place that will give them that same kind of return on investment.
We just have about 30 seconds left. What are the next things to look for? Is it the November meeting? Is it something ahead of time? Where are the high points ahead that people need to pay key attention to?
I would say the meeting between the presidents, the potential meeting between the presidents at the end of November is what to keep your eye on. If the meeting happens and it has a positive outcome, that hopefully means that we're looking at a pathway to starting to reduce the tariffs on both sides. If the meeting doesn't happen, then we should anticipate that probably we're going to be in with tariffs for much longer.